The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Thank you for joining this podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Good Ranchers. If you're interested, you want more information, go to goodranchers.com/Tatum to get more information.
He's tackling his biggest assignment yet. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, you beautiful patriots. Thank God that you exist, because our country will be going to a sudden death if it weren't for good men and women who had common sense. According to a Fox News article, more than 1 million voters switch registration to GOP as suburbs break from Joe Biden. Are you surprised? I'm not surprised. In this article, it reads, more than 1 million U.S. voters have switched their party affiliation to the GOP over the past 12 months, painting a grim picture for Democrats in 2022 midterms. The GOP is benefiting most in the suburbs of large, medium-sized cities, where voters who support Joe Biden in 2020 are struggling with inflation and growing increasingly critical of Democrats and social issues. Are you shocked? I'm shocked that somebody actually came out and said it, and people are representing their true feelings in the polls. But I'm not shocked that people are disenchanted by slow-mo Joe, who is probably the worst president in American history. Now, some people may argue that there's a couple other presidents that were worse than him, but I think that Joe Biden is pretty much at least in the top three. He at least placed in the awards of the worst president ever. Why do you say that, Mr. Tatum? The very people that claim that they want to implement change effective for everybody, which equals unity, are the same people that are the most polarizing people on planet Earth. I'm old enough to remember when Joe Biden said, you ain't black if you don't know if you're voting for me or Donald Trump.
And you ain't black.
How is that not polarizing? How are you? How, you're saying that you cannot be considered an authentic black man if you have a diverse opinion. Meaning that you look at Donald Trump and you say, hey, that's best for my community. You look at Joe Biden after you smoke crack and then you say that that's best for my community. How is it that that man has made the statements to say that he's a president of unity?
And
these people are not for unity. They're not for unity. They're the most racist, vile people that we've ever seen. All you have to do is wait till a crisis happens or a situation that they disagree with. They've come out in groves over Roe v. Wade. We have seen people literally challenge the ethnicity, the blackness of Justice Thomas, challenge his whole manhood, because they disagree with an opinion. It is asinine to me that we live in a country of such contradictions. It angers me that liberals, leftists, and I call them both the same. Some people may disagree with the liberal analogy. They think that liberals are more in the middle. I call them liberals, leftists. That they're the first ones claiming Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter, until the black person disagrees with them. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Black Lives Matter. We need more black people on the Supreme Court justice. And then Clarence Thomas disagrees with them, and now his black life don't matter.
And you ain't black.
They're calling for people to go to his house. People are calling to pull Supreme Court justices out of their homes and beat them to death. Tweeting it on Twitter. The tweet may still be up. The party of tolerance. When they don't have something go their way, they literally burn almost every city that they exist in. A person just recently in L.A. got charged with attempted murder after these rioters for Roe v. Wade, I guess they call them, tried to shoot a police officer with a flamethrower and got charged with attempted murder. Now, you know, in the state of California, Gascon and Los Angeles, this kid ain't going to get charged with nothing. Or he's not going to be found guilty or nothing. They're going to drop the charges and he's going to be back on the streets terrorizing. But when they don't like something, they get to burn whole cities down and kill people and kill police officers. And nobody says anything about it. When they don't like a decision that's made, they can go and try to breach the Capitol building in the state of Arizona. They tried to breach the Capitol building. It's on video. Carrie Lake put it on her social media. She's running for governor of the state of Arizona. Tried to breach the Capitol. But the doors were locked, so they had a hard time getting through the doors and bashing the windows. All of the staff in the Capitol building had to go on lockdown. Police had to stand over the balconies to shoot gas canisters to hold these people off. But you don't find a minute of coverage. There's no hearings in the state legislature or in the United States Senate or House of Representatives. You're not going to hear this in the United States Congress. They're not going to talk about it. It doesn't count. Let me give you another scenario and a story that I think is equally as reprehensible that the mainstream media, when I say mainstream, the left-leaning media, that you had over 40 people die or found dead. Over 40. One article, the Texas Tribune, said over four dozen people. Last time I checked, if my math was right, that's over 48 people found dead in a semi-truck trailer. How did this happen? People are desperate. They're smuggling people in our country. And they don't care about their lives. They let them suffocate and die in a tractor trailer. And it was over 100 people in there, supposedly, and half of them died. Because it's probably 150 degrees in that trailer in the Texas sun. With no water, no relief, they died. There's also reports from Texas Tribune that a few people jumped to their death outside of the trailer while it was moving to escape the blazing heat. Is Joe Biden going to go down to San Antonio? Because he went to Uvalde. I think the president should have went to Uvalde. 19 kids died, 21 in total, when you add the teachers, died at the hands of a lunatic. Well, now you have 40-some people that died in one incident. This is a mass death incident that we have never seen in our country, or we haven't seen in recent memory. Is the president going to go down to San Antonio? This is a mass casualty situation. No, they're not, because they don't care. They don't care. They don't care about illegal aliens. It's all political, ladies and gentlemen. They want your vote. They'll show up to show cages to blame Donald Trump. But they won't show up when 240,000 people have crossed our border just last month. Now, if 200-some thousand crossed, how many people didn't make it? On the state side, in San Antonio, we see 40-some people died. Imagine what they're doing coming over here, crossing through Mexico. In Mexico, crossing the desert. I know people who are Border Patrol agents. One of my friends, and this was a while ago, this is before we even see numbers that we see now, he used to tell me how they used to find dead people in the desert all the time. They used to find dead pregnant women in the desert all the time. There's a tree in a notable place, a notable crossing place to get from Mexico to the States. There's a tree with women's underwear on it and girl, kid underwear. It's a tree full of underwear. Do you understand that that's a tree where young women get taken advantage of? And women, older women, you know, women and children get taken advantage of? And the show as a reward or a trophy of what they've done, they fill the tree with the undergarments of women and children. But our president have not made any efforts to stop the illegal immigration and the illegal smuggling of humans into our country. Think about this. We had Tom Holman on, and he had mentioned there was 800,000 people this year, I believe it's this year, that crossed the border that we didn't have a chance to connect with or contact. We see them on the cameras and stuff like that, over 800,000 people. That's not even including the millions of people that are probably coming over here that we process. Millions of unvetted people coming into our country. I got 30 seconds. If you were a terrorist, why would you go through the airport where you can go through the southern border? If you hate this country with vigor, are you going to allow restrictions from the air to prevent you from coming over here? Or are you just going to come through the southern border, make your way in here, create splinter cells, and take over a country? You tell me. You listen to the Alex Tatum Show. Hold the phone.
Brandon Tatum, unafraid to tell it like it is.
Summer grilling is upon us, and if you're looking for a perfect cut to put on a grill this year, look no further. Good Ranchers is the place to get American beef, chicken, and seafood this summer. They sell 100% American meat shipped to your front door, and right now, they're giving away two free 18-ounce prime center cut ribeyes to every person that use my code Tatum. That's over 2 pounds of prime ribeye steak at no cost to you. With Father's Day coming up and all the summer events, this is a perfect time to try a box of Good Ranchers. You can make a one-time purchase or subscribe and save $25 off every box. Plus, you'll get two free 18-ounce boneless ribeyes. Other places will charge you well over $50 a steak to get ribeyes like these. But Good Ranchers is giving them to you for free when you go to goodranchers.com/Tatum. This is a limited stock item. Right now, go to goodranchers.com/Tatum and use my code Tatum at the checkout and get your two free 18-ounce ribeyes. Start the summer off right with Good Ranchers American meat delivery. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Austin Tatum Show. As you know, my friend Mike Lindell is killing it with the pillows. I sleep on those pillows every night. They're so comfortable. I don't know how he put those little, I don't know, the little cotton ball looking things. And they make the pillow to where you can form it to the way you want to form it. If it's too, you know, dull, you can then pack it up and put the pillows in this area. Anyway, it's like the pillows have little my pillows. But anyway, he didn't just make the MyPillow great. He came out with the MySlippers. Took him over 2 years to develop the slippers. You can wear them indoors and outdoors. They're made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help with fatigue on your feet. Also made with quality leather suede. You can get $90 off those same slippers if you use my discount code. I got you covered. We're going to hook you up. All you have to do is call 1-800-976-8379. Use promo code Brandon or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and put in promo code Brandon. This offer will not last long, so use my promo code Brandon at MyPillow.com. I want to talk about the coach who was praying at center field, Coach Joe Kennedy. I think it's Joe Kennedy. We got a clip of it. Wrote a clip of Joe Kennedy in the ruling from the Supreme Court. Clip one.
I'm going to thank God after every football game. I don't know. I'm going to have a new commitment with God because he's given me a second chance. And, you know, I'll never give up my rights and I'll never give up thanking God. But where I do it, the great thing is the court says it doesn't matter where I do it. And that's America for you.
All right. Well,
hey, guys, I want to confirm, I might be slow to the news here, but just reading some of the coverage this morning, is it news that you're going back? Because I knew you intended to go back if you won the case, but I didn't know it was so quickly wrapped up and settled fact. Because you're living in Florida now, right? The weather's good there. you're definitely going back to Washington. The school district has signed off on it. This is a done deal?
No, it's not. And that's the part that I'm just waiting for. I'm waiting for the school to either give us a call or however the lawyers negotiate it. But I'm expected, you know, a phone call from somebody and we can work all those details out. And hopefully I can be on that next flight to back to Bremerton and be on that field that's behind me.
So you are right now officially requesting to have your job back.
Yes, that is correct.
Isn't that a blessing? I think that's a blessing for the coach to be able to get a victory like this, because all of this is completely stupid. Let me walk you guys through how this even happened. So Coach Kennedy would literally, after the game, he would go to the 50-yard line, which is the middle of the football field, after the game, and say a silent prayer. That's it. That's all he did. He didn't do nothing else, didn't say nothing else, didn't talk to nobody. He just went to the thing and said, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to do what I'm doing. I'm paraphrasing. I don't know what his prayers were, but I'm assuming it was something like that. Now, then some players voluntarily went to the 50-yard line, met him after the game, and prayed with him. Then, because it's such a powerful thing, and we all know as Christians that prayer has power, the other team wanted to join his players, him, at the 50-yard line to pray. This is not a prayer that says the Quran is a fake book. This is not a prayer to bash anybody or nothing. This is a prayer, a silent prayer, and maybe they, when they congregate together, they spoke of just thanking God for giving them another day and a new opportunity to do something they love in a country that's as free as the United States of America. But one of the other team coaches complained. He shouldn't be able to pray after the game, probably because they whooped his butt on a football field, and then his players still wanted to pray with the guy after they got whooped. Maybe that coach got upset. I'm paraphrasing that part. But thank God the Supreme Court ruled on this past Monday, I believe it was this Monday, a 6-3 decision to the issue that we have at hand. I want to read just a quote from this article, from the Fox News article, another Fox News article. It says here, a government entity sought to punish an individual to engage in a brief, quiet, personal relationship, a personal religious observation, doubly protected by the free exercise of freedom of speech clause of the First Amendment. And the only meaningful justification the government offered, it resorted to a mistaken view that it had on a duty to suppress. This document is all messed up. And then I got a public school education, so it ain't helping me. My printer ain't working it right. So anyway, this was illegitimate. It had no business happening. They went after this coach, violating his First Amendment rights. And now the court has ruled that in his favor. Now, he was fired in addition to this. And so he may get his job back. My personal note to the coach is, I don't know if he has family there or not, but don't go back to Washington State. Don't go back to Washington. Don't do it. Don't do it. The beach in Florida is beautiful. There's so many more conservative places that would embrace you as a coach, and you will be able to pray until your tongue falls out in many places in the United States of America. Unless you have a deep love for that state and you can't not go back, why would you go to a place that is raining every day and it's not known for a football state? That's all I'm saying. They got a couple players out of there. But go to the great state of Texas. Go to Florida. You can even go down to California. Go to a place where you will be honored as a coach. You will win championships, and all of your players will probably go D1. Not all of them, but a lot of them. But that's pretty much my take on that. You know, it was very disgusting that they put that coach in that predicament to fire that man just because he's praying at the 50-yard line. And you know, to be honest, I'll tell you this. If that man had a Quran in his hand and he was praying to Allah, I can almost bet you a month worth of salary that there's no way on planet Earth they would have had a problem with it. If he rolled out a carpet down there in the middle of the field and he put his face to the ground worshiping Allah, they would have congratulated him and gave him some concessions for it. Probably would have gave him a raise. Why do you say that, Mr. Tatum? Show me somewhere where a person was praying to Allah and he was discriminated against. I mean, maybe I'm mistaken. I have never seen a story where somebody was praying to Allah and they discriminated against him. Show me a place where, and I just saw this on the television not too long ago, show me a place where somebody's taking the Quran and kicking it around on the ground. Show me a place. I just saw a video of them kicking the Bible around, cussing and spitting on people, and nobody did anything about it. It's crazy in this country that if you're a Christian, you're under attack. If you happen to be a Muslim or something else, they embrace your religion. It is out of control to me. And let me just say this real quick, because I only got about 30 seconds left, is that atheism is a religion. Don't let nobody lie to you. It takes faith to believe that there's no God. You listen to the Officer Tatum Show. Hold the phone. Catch me after the break.
The Officer Tatum Show.
As you know, our friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow that I have ever slept on in my life. I have one right now. Me and my wife sleep on it every night. Now Mike has done it again with my slippers, which I'm wearing right now. For a limited time, you will save $90 on a pair of my slippers. This blowout sale of the year won't last long, so order now. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop the My Slipper. The My Slippers are designed to wear indoors and outdoors all day long. Mike Lindell has made the My Slippers with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue, made also with quality leather suede. Call 1-800-976-8379. Use promo code Brandon or go to MyPillow.com. Click on a radio listener square and use promo code Brandon. This offer will not last long, so order now with promo code Brandon at MyPillow.com.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I want to talk more about the restrictions of black people in this country to own guns. And that's why I don't understand why today more black people don't have guns. You know, it's funny, everybody goes back to slavery and Jim Crow and all this other stuff to talk about the plight of the black man, but they don't never speak about the fact that black people couldn't own guns for a very long time in this country. And now that we have an opportunity, why in the world are we trying to help pass legislation to prevent us from having guns again? Do we not get the point? We can go all the way back in the South from 1640. I'm looking at this document right here. 1640, you go through. Places like Florida, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, Georgia, all had laws prohibiting black slaves from owning guns, obviously. And then they also prohibited free black men for owning guns as well. You keep going throughout history. You make your way through the late 1800s. You make your way past the Civil War. And they still had race-based gun restrictions. In 1866, which is after the Civil War was fought or ended, slavery was abolished in 1865. And then in 1866, Alabama had what they called a Black Code of Alabama. In January 1866, prohibited blacks to own or carry firearms or other deadly weapons and prohibited any person to sell, give, or lend firearms or ammunition of any description whatsoever to any black person. Okay, that's the 1800s. 1866, after the Civil War. And then we could just go to the United States of America. Let's go on through history. I'm going to try to get to close to the 60s, 1960s. We could go all the way to 1911. Police choose who can own a gun lawfully, all right? The police can choose. And obviously that was discriminatory against black people in that period of time. Gun Control Act of 1934, National Firearm Act, was passed in 1934. Let's keep going. Let's see. And that's too far. 1990 is too far. I want to go back to 68. 1968, Gun Control Act of 1968 was passed. It says avowed anti-gun journalist Robert Shirill Frankley admitted that the Gun Control Act of 1868 was passed not to control guns, but to control blacks. That's in 1968. We can keep going on and on and on. I wish you could see this document because it's extensive. It's like 20 pages of this. But there's a lot of things in here that show and prove that there was bias against black people historically until, obviously, more recently in history, where black people couldn't own guns, or there was a barrier. Now black people can freely own guns. It appears that the Democrats don't want black people to own guns. They want to keep them afraid of guns. Oh, you don't need guns. Oh, why would you need a high-powered weapon? Why would you need this? It don't matter what you think I need. It matters how am I going to protect myself. And the funny thing is nowadays black people have to protect themselves from other black people now. So more so than they do white people. However, Democrats come out and say that white supremacy is taking over our country, white lash is getting ready to happen, and they still tell black people they shouldn't have guns. I know that they try to tell everybody, but especially black people, you shouldn't have guns. And I know that there's a little bit of trauma, not a little bit, it's probably a lot of trauma that goes on in inner cities because of inner city violence. Black people tend to be afraid of these guns because they cause so much destruction. But the party for the people, the party that love, quote unquote, black people, you would think there'd be a party of saying, hey, you need to observe your rights, your historical right to keep and bear arms. Because you remember what the, because this is what they want you to believe, the Republicans did it. You remember what the Republicans did to you a long time ago? And in reality, they mean, you remember what the Democrats did to you. You remember what we did to you a long time ago. That it should be encouraged. Now, we do see numbers that black people are the largest number of new gun owners. When you look at the spike in gun ownership, black people have surpassed every other demographic. And I think that a lot of that is because of other black conservatives, Donald Trump, and Republicans, if you ask me. Let's look at this article from Black Enterprise. It says the spread of COVID-19, the novel coronavirus pandemic, has changed the way normal life functions for America. Compounding by the national protests over racial injustice and police brutality, many black Americans have been advocating for the purchase of firearms to protect for protection amid the current political climate. Think about this for a minute. Black ownership of guns go up as Black Lives Matter go out and burn up cities. Isn't that interesting? That they blame white people, but yet Black Lives Matter caused black people to get guns out of fear. Overall, gun sales have been surging across the United States, according to the Brookings Institution. Nearly 3 million firearms have been purchased since March, when the public health crisis caused the shutdown of major cities across the United States of America. The research also shows that since March 13th, when Trump first declared that the viral outbreak was a national emergency, firearm sales increased significantly over the next 2 weeks, climbing as high as 176,000 orders on March 16th alone. In the month of March, there were an additional 700,000 firearms bought, more than usual. The data shows that the numbers increase again with a 50% increase in June sales around the time the protest over police brutality began to take over the nation. So as you can see, I'm looking at this chart. Y'all don't have the chart on the screen. You can't see the chart because I'm looking at it and y'all listening to it on your radio. You look, there was a spike in gun ownership in Sandy Hook. There was a spike in gun ownership in San Bernardino, that San Bernardino shooting. There's a small spike in gun ownership at Parkland. And COVID-19, actually, this Black Lives Matter protest caused it to be a tremendous spike. And why is most of these things happening in the black community? Let me read more. It says the highest overall firearm sales increase came from black men and women who showed a 58% increase in purchasing during the first 6 months of 2020. Why is that the case? Is it because these gun advocates that are out here teaching black people about firearm safety? I don't know. I do think it's because people are waking up, man. I think that conservatives and Republicans are putting information out there so much so that people have no choice but to see the hypocrisy. And during COVID-19, black people were already skeptical, I think they should have been, of the Tuskegee experiment implemented by the government of the United States of America, which they intentionally, gave black people a disease and didn't give them nothing let me take that back. They intentionally lied to them about giving them a cure for the disease that they had. So, and in many cases, some people believe that they potentially gave them diseases just to see how they would react and watching them die as an experiment, although they were telling people that they were giving them a drug in order to heal them, and they knew it wasn't doing nothing to them. I think they were giving them placebo, and they were watching the way they die so they can get more research done. And they completely lied and tried to cover it up and all of the above. And now they want to tell you, to force you to take a vaccine. So I think a lot of people were turned off by that, being exposed by conservatives. And they were able to see that, hey, you guys are going to be endangered species if you don't get with the program. The government is not for you. The Democrats are not for you. You better get yourself a firearm to protect yourself. And then in these inner cities, where people were burning buildings and hurting police officers and killing people, I think a lot of black people realized that I need guns to protect myself from these fools. And they weren't all just black. You know, you had Antifa in there and all of the above. But I think a lot of people in the black community were afraid. And I'm hoping that this brings everybody back in full circle, understanding that in the history of black ownership of firearms was a very tattered past. And so now that black people have rights to have guns, and they've been having right to have guns for a very long time, you need to take advantage of it. And you should not allow the government to tell you that you need to ban the scary AR-15. You need these guns to protect yourself with it. And if you decide to keep it locked in your safe, then you keep it locked in your safe. But the government shouldn't be telling you you can't have a gun. And we all know why the government is telling you that or trying to get us in that position. All you got to do is look at Venezuela. All you got to do is look at China and any of these communist nations, and you'll see exactly what I'm saying. You listen to the Office Tatum Show. Call in 844-900-7243. Hold the phone. I'll catch you after the break.
Brandon Tatum.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Office Tatum Show. I almost forgot to start my intro. I was listening to that beautiful music, and I said, hey, I forgot. I'm still on the radio. As you guys know, my friend Mike Liddell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't just stop by simply creating the best My Pillows or Best Pillows. Now Mike has done it again by introducing the My Slippers. For a limited time, you will save $90 off a pair of My Slippers. This blowout sale won't last long, so don't be a procrastinator like myself. You better get on it while you can. Mike's taken over 2 years to develop the My Slipper. The My Slippers are designed to be worn indoors and outdoors as long as you want. Made with My Pillow Foam and Impact Gel to help with fatigue. Also made with quality leather suede. All you have to do is take advantage of this hookup. It's $90 off. Call 1-800-976-8379. Use promo code Brandon or go to the MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and use promo code Brandon. This offer will not last long. I've been telling you guys it ain't going to last long. Don't call me. Don't call on the radio show and be sad when you can't get the $90 off no more. I'm telling you now, use promo code Brandon at MyPillow.com. Fentanyl. Let's talk about fentanyl real quick. Some people call it fentanyl. I call it fentanyl. When I was a police officer in Tucson, we had such a huge issue with fentanyl in our state. I remember when fentanyl did not exist. And I remember shortly after, maybe 2 years, I don't know how deep I was on the job. Maybe I was 6 years into the job, 5 years into the job. Fentanyl became out of control to the point where every single drug we ever tested, we have to put on a biohazard suit with gloves and a mask on and booties on your feet in order to test any drug. I don't care if it's a pill. I don't care if it's marijuana, because fentanyl has gotten out of control and is so potent and dangerous that if you inhale vapor from fentanyl, you can die. If you touch it and get it on your skin, you could die. It was really that bad. Now, why we're not just extremely concerned, in my opinion, about fentanyl that's killing way more people than COVID can, and that's literally coming right in through our borders unobstructed. Why are we not talking about it more is beyond me. 150,000 fentanyl pills found in a car during a traffic stop in Central California. 150,000 pills, ladies and gentlemen. A traffic stop led to a major drug bust Friday night in Tulare, I think that's how you say it, County. Tulare County. Lord help me. Tulare County CHP officers stopped the vehicle in the area of Highway 99 and Tulare Avenue around 7:30 p.m. The Tulare County High, Intensity Drug Trafficking Area Unit was called out, and they found 150,000 fentanyl pills in the vehicle. Investigations say that the street value is $750,000 worth of fentanyl pills. 25-year-old Jose, you know what, and 19-year-old Benito, you know what, both were from Washington, were booked into the Tulare County pretrial facility for possession and transportation of illegal drugs. Now, let's see if they get real jail time. Now, I just spoke to you about how dangerous fentanyl is, that a little bit of it can kill you. You have two people transporting fentanyl by over 150,000 pills. And just imagine how many people that could kill. No. Let's say if a person was driving with anthrax in a car, you would be doing federal time for the rest of your life if you had enough anthrax to kill half of the population in the United States of America. I would argue 150,000 fentanyl pills could kill a whole bunch of people. At least it could kill 150,000 people. And you got people transporting those drugs, a $750,000 street value. With inflation, this could be $1 million street value. I don't know if in the streets they compensate for inflation and gas prices. I don't know. If it costs more money to transport the drugs, they may hike up the price. Regardless, almost $1 million of product with the most deadliest drug that America's ever seen, in my opinion. I would say a legal drug. Why are we not talking about this more often? I think there's a lot of people that understand why we're not talking about this. The devastating impact of rising food prices in the United States of America. The story of these food prices, they continue to get worse and they're out of control. Food prices in May of 2022 were a whopping 10% higher than prices in May of 2021. A 10% increase year over year. The size of these food prices increases have not been seen in over 40 years and occurring across all food categories, from fresh fruits at 8.5% to fish and seafood at 12%. Over the past 9 months, each month's year over year food price increase has been over 4%, which is out of control. Now, do I think this is going to affect the Democrats in the election? I think it will. I'm just giving you numbers. I'm not talking to you about the effects that it has on people's budget. I remember when I was a cop, I was going check to check. I do not know if I would have been able to survive a hit of grocery prices going up 10% and gas prices going up double, triple. I think when I was a cop, gas was still like $2 and something. I went to fill my truck up the other day. Gas is $6. In Phoenix, gas is $6. Well, because I had to use diesel. I'm not even talking about premium gas is higher than diesel. Now, just imagine if your budget have to go up triple for gas expenses. Imagine if you're commuting to work every day. This could cause people to go into financial turmoil. And I would argue that many people right now, as we speak, are probably taking loans out, putting money on their credit card, you know, burning through their savings to literally make ends meet. And we haven't even seen the worst of it, because as summer continues, it's just gonna get worse and worse and worse. You know, the prices that we see at the pump today, I don't believe are reflective of the prices that we're gonna see as they continue to rise. Because it takes money to get the gas to the pump. And as that gas price go up, the price they're going to charge you is going to go up. It's a similar thing for the grocery stores. It costs more money to feed the cattle. It costs more money to feed fertilizer. All that costs way more money now. And the people who are managing the farms are going to have to now charge you more money so that they can break even or get a decent profit margin. I'm not saying break even. They can break even on their old prices. So now they got to charge you more money. This was 100% preventable. If we had a competent person that runs our economy, or at least the economy analysis, we may not be in this position. If we had a president that wasn't thinking about political gain and not thinking about the people, or thinking about political gain over the people, we wouldn't see this happen. There's no need to cut off the Keystone Pipeline. There's no need to have a war on oil and gas. There's no need to push the Green New Deal. All of those things created this burden. There's no reason for us to be in Ukraine fighting a war that we ain't got no business fighting. It's all their fault, ladies and gentlemen. You listen to the Officer Tatum Show. Call in 844-900-7243. I'm out.
The Officer Tatum Show. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm back. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show. Follow me on social media at The Officer Tatum. YouTube channel blowing up. It's out of control. The Officer Tatum on YouTube. Can I keep it real with y'all? Give me a show of hands if you want me to keep it real. Keep one on the steering wheel, but put the other hand up. Do you want me to keep it real or not? Let me keep it real for a minute. I read this article, and I was trying to read a little bit of it, but it's so convoluted and minutia that I couldn't get to this young lady's point. Her name is Erica D. Smith, same lady that called Larry Elder the blackface of white supremacy, one of these brain-dead people who think everything is about race. So she wrote this article about black ownership, and she has this claim and this idea that the white Christians, militias or whatever you want to call it, activists, nationalists, the white Christian nationalists are afraid of black people getting guns. Last time I checked, the Christian abolitionists were the ones who rescued the black people from slavery. Because Harriet Tubman wasn't doing it by herself. You can go back and look at the June 19th in Galveston, Texas, Christian abolitionists were informing black people that they were actually, in fact, free. And because you've been listening to me, you now know that black people weren't actually free then because the Native Americans still had slaves. And then the following year, they finally got the Native Americans to let go their slaves, the Choctaw Nation, and then black people were actually free. So I don't know why June the 19th, 1865, they should have go back to 1866, and then we'll have a conversation to be had. All right, outside of that, let me just make this really clear. I don't know where this racism talk comes from. I have spent my whole childhood around nothing but black people. I have spent my adulthood around majority white people after college, because when I was on the football team, I used to hang out with all the black players. After college, 2010, when I graduated, from that point to now, I've spent majority of my time around most white people. White people ain't worried about black people like these leftists believe. I ain't never in my life heard, even through the grapevine, that a white man was walking around saying, man, look at those black people buying those guns. I can't believe they letting them buy guns. I ain't never in my life heard no white person say that. White people ain't worried about you people. Black people, I just want you to know that they ain't worried about y'all. I don't know why black people worry about them. When I grew up in a black neighborhood, I didn't see a white person. I had to go out of the neighborhood to see white people. So why you worried about white people that ain't in your hood? The people who robbing you look like you. I ain't never in my life, in my whole life, had heard a black man say, I need to get a gun to protect myself from the Ku Klux Klan or the white nationalists. I have never in my life seen a Klans member. I have never seen a real white nationalist. I seen some people I may have suspected, but I ain't never seen one in the flesh where I knew this person is saying they're white nationalists or white supremacists and all that. I've never seen anybody in the flesh like that. It's baloney, y'all. These activists want to keep hatred and division going, so they spew all these things. These people like Erica D. Smith, that never wanted to debate Larry Elder on the show, and she definitely won't come on this show and give an account for what she's saying. They just make up stuff. I live in a majority white neighborhood. I ain't had a problem with a white person yet, anywhere. In the state of Arizona, it's only 5% of the population is black. I ain't nothing around but a number of white people and Mexican people. I ain't never had a person say something racist to me. And let me tell you this. The only time I had a conflict with somebody was at the grocery store the other day. It was a couple months ago, where a white liberal was mad at me because I support Trump. So if anything, the white liberals are the problem. But let me bring in a caller, because I think this caller probably has some insight on this. But ladies and gentlemen, like, what are we even talking about at this point? These people are just out here spewing nonsense, man. Black people by far are buying more guns than anybody else more recently. Why? Let's look at history, ladies and gentlemen. We have not seen numbers like this from black people in no mass shooting in history that we could think of in contemporary history. It happened in 2020. What happened? When the Democrat government, in my opinion, wanted to force you to get vaccinated. When Black Lives Matter was pillaging people, killing police officers, burning down their own communities. That's the year when black people had the most gun purchases ever. It wasn't in January 6th. Okay, all right, all right. Tom from Indianapolis, welcome to the Off Tatum Show.
Mr. Tatum, it's a pleasure to finally meet you. I've been listening quite some time, every day, actually. But I was really prompted to call today because I'm up in Minneapolis, so, and I graduated from high school in 1975, so we were taught by the best, by Martin Luther King Jr. So I didn't see it. Now, just because I didn't see it didn't mean that it wasn't present. And you listen to Heather, is this Heather McCarthy? I don't remember her last name. And then you listen to Larry, and they are telling us there's really not much racism. And then you turn on your TV, and all they do is show some kind of crime, and they have some kind of black person in on it. And I can't help but think that they're up to something here. They're creating what they're trying to say.
100%. Tom, I agree with you. I agree with you. 100%. It's called projection, and they want to manufacture division. So what do? All of the images that they paint are painting the image of black people being thugs and criminals. Right. I mean, I know black people commit a lot of crime, but I think that they have an obsession with putting black people on pedestals like that. And the black people who are committing crimes, who are gangbangers, they glorify them and they deify them.
Give me this one moment here. I want to say this. The 1964 bill that LBJ put through is considered kind of the savior of the black population, right? Now, you and I know differently, but what I'm trying to say is this. Since that time, if you look at the 7-county metro area around Washington, D.C. in 1964 compared to right now, it's now the richest 7-county metro area in the United States. We put $22 trillion honest dollars toward aid to the poor. The rest of the nation has. And what have they done for their schools? Nothing. Of that $22 trillion, 70% is siphoned off by the industry that services it. $16 trillion has been siphoned off by the D.C. area. And you're talking about, they're talking about getting, I forget what the word is, to pay
reparations.
Yeah. Reparations. I don't think it's a bad idea, but I think it should all be paid by DC.
I like it, Tom. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate that. It's very interesting concepts, man. You know, I really think that the Democrats operate on projection. They're racist, so they want to say you are racist. Now, we see how racist they are with Clarence Thomas. We see how racist they were with Larry Elder. We see how racist they are with Ben Carson. I mean, they go down the list. All you got to do is be a black man thinking for yourself, and they're racist against you. I mean, look at how they treated Kanye West. Kanye West, they said he was mentally ill. I mean, all of these things they said about the man, only because he can think for himself. They call all of us sellouts. Tim Scott, all of us. Every black Republican, black conservative, they call you a sellout. All you have to do is switch the dispensation of time, and it's the same way Democrats treated black people back in the day. Because as you remember, black people were Republicans when they first became politicians. They were all Republicans. Democrats treated them that way. Democrats treat us that way today. Same soup warmed over. You listen to the Off Tatum Show. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
And you ain't black. And you ain't black. And you ain't black.
Slipping, falling, I can't get up. Slipping into my slippers and I can't get up. Welcome to the Off Tatum Show. Some of y'all know the reference to that song, DMX. I'm slipping, falling, I can't get up. I used to love his music. But I hope y'all start slipping and falling in these My Slippers. For a limited time, you'll get $90 off the My Slippers. Michael Lindell is a patriot, man. You know, if you want to take a chance on a company, you need to take a chance on a patriotic company. $90 off. The My Slippers took over 2 years to develop. They're designed to wear indoors and outdoors. I wear my My Slippers everywhere. And I'm going to be honest with y'all. I thought that they were going to go flat, but they have been actually holding up. And I'm a big dude. And so they've been holding up with the MyPillow foam and impact gel. I think that's what helps them, keep their form a lot longer than normal. They're made with quality leather suede, so they look good. They feel good. They're multi-surfaced. There's no way you shouldn't at least give these slippers a try. And you get $90 off? All right. All y'all got to do is call 1-800-976-8379. Use promo code Brandon. Or go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use the promo code Brandon. And this offer will not last long, so you better do it now. Brandon at MyPillow.com. All right, let's continue the conversation. It is these liberals and the hypocrisy and the projection. And, you know, it's just like, I know a lot of you guys know people who are narcissistic, meaning that their minds are completely wrapped in themselves. And everything they know they're doing wrong, they project it on you. They know that they're racist. They know that they ruining the country. They say you are. They know that they're knee deep in trying to perform an insurrection, but they say that you are. And I will never, ever be fooled again by Democrats. They claim that Republicans are racist, man. They say the most vile things I've ever heard. I get more racial slurs thrown at me from black liberals than I have ever heard anybody get in my entire life. I haven't had a white person call me the N-word, but I have had so many black people call me the N-word, it literally will make your head spin. And what side are they on? It's not conservatives, it's liberals. Let me get a couple callers in. Let's see. Sheila from Maryland. Welcome to the Off Statham Show.
Hello. Hello, Brandon. I wanted to say thank you for all that you're doing. I've been following you for over 4 years, I guess. And I thank God for you. I thank God for your conservative view. I thank you for your faith in God, and I wish you well. But my comment is, I wish a lot of the black pastors would go ahead and start standing up regarding this illegal immigration that's happening in our country. I have been faced a lot of injustices, and I have fought alone by myself. But I'm proud of you. And I wish some kind of way that you connect with Bishop Patrick Wooten and various other black ministers that have been speaking up. But I wish other black ministers will speak up. And also that someone starts standing up for whites. Because I learned a long time ago, not all blacks are good and not all whites are bad. And thank you very much.
Sheila, thank you so much. You just made my day. I love when I hear other people come up and say the things that I actually think. And it's just common sense, very calm. You know, I'm all everywhere and I'm yelling and I'm ranting. Common sense in a peaceful manner. When are the pastors going to be pastors? I don't know what has gotten into the spirit of a lot of pastors today, but pastors won't even talk about Roe v. Wade. There's pastors right now. What's his name? Jamal Bryant. The scammiest pastor on planet Earth. He cheated on his wife, got a woman pregnant. I think he cheated on his wife twice. He got outside kids, and he's the pastor of a mega church. And then after he cheated on his wife, get caught, people left his church, he come back and make a sermon to say, I'm still the man. I heard the sermon. I know he said it. He's putting out a forum for women's rights and all this old crazy stuff. This is what really hurts the inner city communities. Is that when you don't have pastors that are on Jesus's team? Because when you're on your own team, when you're on the AME team, when you're on the Apostolic Church team, when you're on the Baptist, Episcopalian, or whatever you call Episcopalian, you on the what's the other one? Church of God in Christ. When you're on that team and you're not on a team Jesus, that's when you have a problem. because people are not making a statement. The church should be the first to say, this is how we feel about Roe versus Wade. This is how we feel about abortion. It is unequivocally clear. This is our stance. And let us provide services to you to not just tell you you can't have an abortion, but we're going to provide services for you so you can make other options. You can have other decisions. It is sickening to me that these big mega pastors won't even touch it. They won't even talk about it because they're ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And therefore, when Jesus come back, they're going to have to pay for it. And I love what Sheila said also is that who's going to stand up for white people? People get mad at me and go, oh, man, you always talking about the white man. Man, because I love everybody the same. I don't have no loyalty to no black people. I don't have no loyalty to no white people. When I see injustice, I see injustice. If a black man is done wrong, I'm going to stand up for that man because it's wrong, not because he's black. And if I stand up for my brother and sister that's white, I'm standing up because it's right to do so, not because of the color of their skin. I don't know if it's because I'm married to somebody that's I'm married in an interracial relationship. My oldest son's mom is white. I don't know if it's because I just wasn't living around the idea of just blackity, black my whole life, that I'm more open-minded. But, man, injustice is injustice, man. You know, I have guys that want a police department with me. They can't even express their opinion. They get fired. The stuff that I can openly say, they couldn't say it. That's not okay. That's not okay, man, because I love them just as much as I love the next man. It bothers me. People just get on TV and say, white people bad. Your ancestors did this. Your ancestors did that. That ain't right to me. Because to be honest, hey, I know you don't want to believe this, but African people sold us to the white man. The white man didn't come up with slavery. We did it to ourselves and sold us around the world into slavery. Well, you want to keep it real? Native Americans, this is their land. They're a native to them. They were scalping each other before we came over here. And then they had slaves. Oh, they don't want y'all to know that. They don't want you to know it. Go look up the Choctaw. When did they release their slaves? Oh, Native Americans cutting up too. White people cutting up. Black people cutting up, Native American people cutting up, Mexican people cutting up, everybody be cutting up. There is no reason to pick a side. You pick truth versus false. You pick right versus wrong. The end. There should not be more conversation about it. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what nothing that you do ain't got nothing to do with me. God made you the way he made you. Are you telling the truth or are you lying? Are you keeping it real? Are you keeping it fake? That's the only thing that matters. You listen to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm out.
Unapologetically Christian and 100% real. The Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I hope that y'all are having a wonderful day today. I know that I'm cutting into these liberals like nobody's business. But speaking of cutting into these liberals, the fight for the unborn is raging on in our country. And the Supreme Court has overturned Roe v. Wade. And clearly, this is paving the way for states to ban or severely limit abortion. So the abortion debate is going to continue across our country. The award-winning film, The Matter of Life, cuts through the rhetoric and hatred and exposes the real issues surrounding the plight of the unborn. The Matter of Life is available right now to stream at salemnow.com. If you care about protecting the unborn, this is a movie that you do not want to miss. It has been hailed as the best pro-life movie that has ever been made. That's a big claim. So go stream it today at salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com. There is a battle taking place in America, ladies and gentlemen. And whether you are pro-choice or pro-life, you need to see this film. Stream it today at salemnow.com. That is salemnow.com. And have your life transformed by the movie, The Matter of Life. Let's get ready to rumble. I don't know if I can say that. That's probably copywritten. But let's get back to the conversation at hand. Had a caller calling in from Georgia about Malcolm X. So I want to play the clip. Wendell, let's bring Wendell in. Wendell from Georgia. Okay, before we talk, Wendell, I want to play the Malcolm X clip in part. So then the audience can hear what you're talking about, and then we'll have the conversation. Roll the clip.
Being friendly and being a friend, I think, are two different things. I think there are many whites who act friendly toward Negroes. A fox acts friendly toward the lamb. And usually the fox is the one who ends up with the lamb chop on his plate. The wolf doesn't act friendly, and therefore the wolf has more difficulty in getting the lamb chop in his plate.
I'd like to point out, though, that...
I say that because it is usually the, if you study the structure of the Negro community, economically, politically, civically, psychologically, and otherwise, it's controlled by the white liberal, mm-hmm. who usually poses as the friend of the Negro, who actually differs from the white conservative in the same way that the fox differs from the wolf. I'm suspicious of whites who join Negroes and always have to be in the lead, who always have to be the head, who always have to be at the top in Negro organizations. Those whites who really have the interest of blacks at heart, let them give some advice to some Negroes and stand on the sideline, but don't join the organization and then get at the head of it and pose as a friend of Negroes.
Today, you could point to a large number.
That's good. I think that's good enough. Wendell, is that the clip that you're talking about?
Yes, sir.
All right. So what's your opinion on that clip?
Malcolm X was correct. He was very correct. It's the white liberals that has kept black people down and everybody else pretty much. Because you can't take a people, and we all one human race, but you can't take a people of a different color and classify them as being bad. We all the same thing. We all bleed red, and we all should have the same rights. And I agree with Malcolm on that 1922 speech that he made.
Wendell, thank you so much for calling in. Thank you so much for calling in, Wendell. I agree. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'd just like to say I love your show. I learned so much from listening to you, Larry Elder, Earl Jackson, and Candace Owens, and all the rest on Salem Network. I love you guys.
We love you too, Wendell. Thank you so much. I agree with almost every single thing that Malcolm X said. Well, maybe at the time that he was alive, maybe the Republicans were that way. But I feel like today the Democrats are still the ones that are plotting to be friends of black people, and they're actually the enemies. And I feel like Republicans are now putting themselves in position to try to do what's right, try to overcome adversity. But it's very hard when you have the liberals running around lying to you and creating division. I like that clip because I think it does speak to a little bit of what the liberals are doing. I do believe that they're at the head of these organizations. They're running it. They're running the ideas. All of them. You listen to the Officer Tatum Show. Hold the phone if you're calling in. I'll catch you after the break.
And you ain't black. And you ain't black. And you ain't black.
That's 844-900-7243.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We got two more segments left, and I want to hear from you. Call in 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. We're on the topic of how racist these Democrats are. We had a caller in from Georgia that mentioned Malcolm X and how Malcolm X talked about the white liberal, which I think is 100% apparent today. Things don't change. Y'all listen. The Bible says that there's nothing new under the sun. These people are still doing the same thing. They just wearing different clothes. Nathan from California, welcome to the Off-State Show.
Hey, Brandon, how are we doing today, sir?
I'm blessed, man. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, and thank you for taking my call. Listen, real quickly, I know you don't have a lot of time for me, but I just want to say that I grew up in a black family and moved around a lot. My mom was in the Air Force. And when I got to a teenager, I decided to go live with my dad. I moved in with my dad in an all-white town, went to a white school for the first time. And I actually saw real racists, Nazis, you know, like you know, with shaved heads and Doc Martens and the whole nine yards. And I just wanted to say it's really interesting to me years later that, you know, those Nazis, they used to hand out these pamphlets. You know, they'd put them in your mailbox and it'd say, you know, whatever Nazi thing they wanted. And most of the time, it's just surprising to me that all they wanted was to sow division. They just wanted to create division between white and black people. And it's just weird that that's exactly what these so-called progressives are trying to do now. To me, they just look like these racist Nazis that I grew up with in Wisconsin.
100%. Nathan, thank you so much for calling in. It's the same soup warmed over, ladies and gentlemen. These are the same people, same strategy. I would argue that those Nazis were Democrats, or they had the Democrat ideology. I mean, like, conservatives have always been the same, I think. I mean, I don't know, man. I wasn't alive in the 60s and 50s and 40s, so I really don't know what was going on, to be honest. You know, the things that I've read and the things that I read and research, you know, as we know, there's such thing called revisionist history. I don't know if that's 100% accurate. So even when I talk to some people, I get different opinions. You know, some people say, oh, it was racism, it was out of control. Some people say, man, I live in the South, I ain't never deal with racism. Even in the 60s, in the 50s, the 40s. And so you have different people that have different perspectives. But at the end of the day, these are the same people, y'all. These are the same people. You know, even in spitting in the face of Martin Luther King, which I have my opinions about Martin Luther King as well, but even Martin Luther King made the declaratory statement to say we should judge people by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. And what do Democrats do every time they have an argument? It's about the color of the skin. The brain dead one, Erica D. Smith, the columnist from Los Angeles Times that I believe, and from our guy in the background, says that they pay her by the click. Even she, gun rights, gun ownership, it got to be about white men. You know? If black people are having problems in the educational system, it's got to be the white man. If a black athlete get pulled over for a super extreme DUI, it's because he's black. It's got to be about the white man. I mean, we go down the list. Some fool go in and shoot up people who was Hispanic. It's got to be the white man's fault. It's got to be the guns. The white nationalists that want gun laws to not change. It's the white man. It's the white Republican. It's just crazy, man. Everything in their repertoire is about color and race. And then when race get burned out, because most people are pretty much over the race, now it's about sexuality. Now it's the LGBTQ+ ARRP. That's what it's about now. They find ways to divide. They don't find ways to bring unity. I would argue that most people in the United States of America couldn't care less at who you sleeping with and what color your skin is. Nobody cares. Maybe you just suck at your job application, and that's why you didn't get the job. Maybe you got a bad attitude. Maybe you don't have social awareness. Maybe you're overqualified. Can we have other options other than race and racism? And even in situations where there's no race involved, they still lie and say there's racism involved. And I keep going back to Larry Elder. Larry Elder, what does he got to do with white supremacy? Okay. All right, got a couple more callers calling in. Let me see who's been waiting the longest. Mike, South Carolina, welcome to the Off-State Show.
Hello, Officer Tatum. How you doing?
I'm blessed.
You hit on something I said this very day. I told a friend of mine that the new abortion ruling by the Supreme Court, and it all kind of came being raised on TV. I'm in a wheelchair, so I watch a lot of TV. And all these Democrats came by, and I asked my friend, I said, where are the preachers in America? This is a good thing that people have been wanting my entire adult life, and we've got this good decision. But none of the preachers stand up to the Democrats and saying, you're wrong, buddy, you're wrong. And are they all in hiding? You hit on that earlier, and sir, I really appreciate your show, I do.
I appreciate it, Mike. Yeah, I mean, the Democrats, they all in bed together. You know, these people don't worship Jesus Christ. Listen, y'all, let's get this really very clear. Everybody that say they're a Christian ain't a Christian. Every preacher that's preaching as a Christian ain't a Christian preacher. Listen, it's a business model. This ain't about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a business model. It's no different than any other nonprofit organization. How do you get the money coming in? You tell the people what they want to hear. And they'll give you money. You guilt trip them, get them emotional. Tell them that God told you to pay your 10% and he going to bless you. He going to heal you. He going to make you a millionaire. You play on their emotions and they're racking it in. And you go buy Rolls Royces and stuff. Or you go put money into your 401k. You set for life when this church closed down. But your people ain't. That's all this is, ladies and gentlemen. Why wouldn't the pastor say this is a great – they should be worship services. Now, I know my friend Marcus Rogers out in Chicago, I'm sure they have a worship service about Roe v. Wade. But most of these churches should have a worship service saying, Lord, thank you for answering our prayers that we have at least made a statement to say this is unconstitutional to protect women who go out and commit genocide against their children. Where are the pastors at? Where are the pastors with anything that's going on in our country? Where are the pastors in vaccine mandates? Where are the pastors when the football coach went out there and knelt at the end of the game to pray? Where was all the pastors supporting him at? Okay. We all know the truth. Y'all listen to the Office Tatum Show. I got one more segment left. Hold the phone. I'll try to get to you after the break.
Unapologetically Christian and 100% real. The Officer Tatum Show.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Thank you for joining this podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Good Ranchers. If you're interested, you want more information, go to goodranchers.com/Tatum to get more information.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.